I'd like you to turn there with me for a few minutes tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12. I'll ask you to follow along silently as I read in your hearing. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm particularly interested in the phrase in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now, there are several pronounced themes in the book of Hebrews. One of which is this theme, looking unto Jesus. No, you don't find this phrase over and over and over. But the whole message of the book is to help us look away from everything else unto Jesus. Isn't it interesting that in chapter 1, even the human author's name is omitted so that we will not become entrenched with the author, the human author, but we'll look beyond to the divine author. Looking unto Jesus. I believe that's not only one of the keys to the Hebrew epistle, but I believe it is one of the great keys of the Christian experience. I heard the late Frank Sales say that a young preacher came up to him and said, "Brother Sales, you keep telling us to look unto Jesus." He said, "But I don't even feel like I've got the strength to look unto Jesus." He said, "How am I to look unto Jesus if I don't have the strength to look unto Jesus?" And Brother Sales wisely responded. He said, "Brother, it's looking unto Jesus, even for the strength to look unto Jesus. He's the source of it all." And so with his help for a few minutes tonight, I feel like the Lord would have me remind us to look to him. Looking unto Jesus. Now, while this is in the setting of the faith life emphasis, it seems it goes beyond the faith life emphasis and points us to the giver of faith himself. The idea is we're not looking unto a lifestyle. We're not looking unto a principle. We're not looking unto a method. We're looking unto him, the Lord Jesus himself. I'd like to share three thoughts tonight that are on my heart. First of all, I want us to look at the special meaning of looking unto Jesus. What does this mean? Well, the word looking is another term in the New Testament for seeing or beholding. It has to do with the eye. In fact, there are 23 different terms, that are used in the New Testament to convey this thing of seeing or observing, beholding, gazing, looking upon. And so for a moment, let's contemplate the importance of this particular term. It has a special meaning by way of the concept that is set forth in the term. This term for look or looking indicates to look away from everything else. Looking unto Jesus. We might say then, looking away from everything else unto Jesus. The idea is not to get sidetracked, not to get off center, not to get caught up with the circumstances, but to keep your eyes away from all of that upon Jesus. Looking away from everything else. Now, all of us have different everything else's, don't we? Your everything else may be very different from my everything else. But we understand that terminology. Things that we can't get off our mind. Things that we can't get off our heart. Things that we can't get out of our vision. Things that we can't get out of our hearing. Things that we can't get out of our thinking. Here we're admonished to look away from all those other things unto Jesus. And so the special meaning, looking or looking away, is set forth by way of the concept here. Looking away from everything else. It's hard to see all the other stars that are still up there in the sky when you see that meteor falling in the night or the meteorite. It catches your eye. You forget about everything else. Here we're admonished, look to Him. Not a falling star or a shooting meteorite, but look unto Him, the stable, constant of Christian experience. Look unto Jesus, while everything else has its place. Get your eyes off of that. And look unto, but Tom, you don't know what I'm facing in my home. Looking away from everything else unto Jesus. But you don't know what I'm facing on my job. Looking away from everything else unto Jesus. But you don't know what I'm facing in my community with my neighbors. Looking away from everything else unto Jesus. But you don't know what I'm facing in my health. Looking away from everything else unto Jesus. You don't know what I'm facing in my mental condition, Tom. It's looking away from everything else unto Jesus. But my emotions, they seem to dominate me. It's looking away from everything else unto Jesus. God grant us the ability to do just that. May I say the special meaning of this term, looking, is not only appreciated by way of the concept itself, looking away from everything else, but it's also appreciated by way of the context. Now, this is somewhat fresh to me, but it has intrigued me again in a new way. Looking unto Jesus follows the fact that we're running a race that is set before us. Anybody who has run track or has watched their children run track know that the one running cannot keep looking back. You got to get your eyes off everybody else. and singly and on the finish line, focus on what's up ahead, not what's around or what's behind. So it is spiritually. We're to look away from everything else, lest we fall in the race, lest we be hindered in the race, lest we be brought down in the race. There are those things that would beset us. There's those weights that would hinder us. And we must not get our eyes on all of that, but we must look away from it unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Could it be tonight the reason you're having trouble running the spiritual race is you're looking at everything but Jesus? You've got your eyes on everybody else and what they're doing and how they're doing and why they're doing, instead of looking unto Jesus and Jesus alone. May I add, there's another way of viewing this and appreciating its special meaning. We not only would look at its special meaning by way of the concept itself, the word meaning, to look away from everything else. And we'd not only understand the special meaning of looking by way of the context. Don't get caught up in the crowd in the stands. And don't get caught up with even others who are running the race. But keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. I think Simon Peter would testify to that, do you? When did he begin to sink? When he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to look at the storm around him. But notice, thirdly, we appreciate this term and understand its special meaning. Thirdly, by way of the contrast, plural, by way of the contrast. The whole book of Hebrews is encouraging these Jewish believers to look away from the temple, to look away from that altar with the sacrifices on it, to look away from the beauty of this religious practice of Judaism. There were a lot of things in Judaism that had become beautiful in their thinking. It was attractive. It was alluring. All of it involving the external, of course. But here they're admonished, don't just look at the temple. Don't just look at the sacrifices. Don't just look at the priest and his beautiful garments. Don't just look at the religious 1-2-3s. Don't just get caught up with all the involvements of this religion, Judaism, but look away from everything else unto Jesus. Amen. It's possible for you and me to do the same thing. We get caught up. I get in churches where they're caught up with the singing. They're caught up with the offering. They're caught up with the preaching. The reason I know that is their dear pastor's pouring his soul out service after service and preaching the Bible, and I come in preaching the Bible, and they'll say to me, "I never had heard it like that before." When the pastor had said it the week before, somehow they can't get beyond preaching or personalities. You remember the Corinthians had problems with that. Some of them liked Cephas or Simon Peter. Some of them liked Apollos. Some of them liked Paul. I've tried to think about that in our spiritual world here in the South, the Southeast. I believe some would have said about Apollos, I'll tell you the reason I like him. He's just almost a silver-tongued orator. He just says what he wants to say, and he's finished. Somebody else said, "Yeah, but I like Paul because he gets into the deep things of God. He doesn't leave you hanging. He gives you some theology to sink your teeth in. He gets into doctrine that'll establish you." Boy, I love Paul's preaching. He gets into the deeper, weightier things of God. And somebody else say, "Well, I tell you, I like Simon Peter. I like old brother Cephas. Paul may have the doctrine, and Apollos may be able to communicate. I tell you, old Simon Peter, he's got the fire, brother. He's got the fire. Paul said, hey, it's neither he that soweth nor he that watereth, but it's God who giveth the increase. Looking unto Jesus by way of the contrast. We're not careful, we'll get caught up with our 1, 2, 3s, our routines. Recently I was told of a minister who had difficulty preaching because the choir didn't sing that night, and he was so used to the choir singing, it messed up his thinking. Well, I've been in some churches I wish the choir wouldn't sing. Because I got to get up behind it. And I'm saying we can get caught up in our routines. The other Sunday I was snowed out. Couldn't get to the meeting. They couldn't have church where I was to be anyhow. Because of the ice. So I decided I'd go to my old home church about 3 miles away. I knew my pastor, the old pastor, was going to be there, and his wife, a couple others. So I went to hear preaching. I felt like, boy, I got to hear some preaching. I need preaching. And I drove up, and his car was the only car there. And I went inside, and even his wife had not come with him. I thought I'd come to hear preaching. But God had something bigger than that. Brother Victor said to me, well, Brother Tom, we're here. Let's have a prayer meeting. I didn't hear preaching, but I heard a prayer warrior pray and probably call out 150 names, not with a list, but by memory. One right after another, people I didn't even know in the community, but he knew them. He'd been there. He was around them. He'd been in the hospital with them. He'd been there over at the mortuary with them. In fact, there was a preacher, he mentioned that prayer that I meant to call and tell him. I forgot to call him. Maybe I need to do that tonight. He prayed for a preacher that hadn't been around him probably in 10 years. And I thought, wonder if that'd encourage that dear brother to know somebody had been praying for him the last 10 years. You see what I'm saying? I was going looking under preaching. God turned it around so I could look unto Jesus in prayer. There's another term in this little phrase, looking unto Jesus. Not only do we learn the special meaning of looking, but we learn something about the simple movement of looking unto. Now this word unto is not a complex term. It in no way is confusing. There are no details to apply to it. The idea is to move in his direction. Looking unto. This is the action of faith. You know, I'm somewhat hesitant to say there's a verse in the Bible that defines faith. But in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, there is a verse that defines unbelief. We're warned to take heed of having an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief is departing from the living God. And with that, I would come to the conclusion that faith then must be moving toward the living God. You ever heard anybody say, "Don't y'all pray for me? I feel like my faith's just about gone. I feel like my faith's weak." And they don't even realize it. The desire for prayer is a sign of faith. And so we're admonished not just to be looking, but to be looking unto, moving in His direction. I believe, firstly, He's saying that we should move in His direction with our attention. For even in the next verse, which I did not read, He said, "Consider Him. Let Him be the object of your attention." If we're not careful, we'll get our eyes on the walls, the obstacles, the hindrances, the blockades. And He says, be looking unto Jesus. Get your attention on Him. Does that mean, Tom, I'm supposed to pray all day? Well, we're told to pray without ceasing. I don't think that necessarily means you got to move your lips, speak words, but our attention ought to be Godward, Christward. It's not very complex. It's just moving in His direction with our attention on Him. Furthermore, moving in His direction with our associations. Now, I have meant well on occasions associating with certain people. But by associating with certain people, there are times when you are not associating with Jesus. You're associating with a belief system, or you're associating with theories, or you're associating with ideas. It's sort of like Noah planting his own vineyard and then drinking what he planted. He got drunk off of the fruit of his own labor, what he had done. A lot of people get drunk off what they do for Jesus. The reason I know they're drunk on it, they want you to know more about that than they do Jesus. What they're doing. Then some of us get drunk on our theories. Our ideologies. Our philosophies. He said, looking unto Jesus. Associate with Him, not with theories and ideas and cliques and little systems, but identify with Him. I thought about that little lady that had that issue of blood for 12 years. There's a big crowd there. She made sure she associated with Him alone. And she touched, she finally got there and touched the hem of His garment. Of course, this simple movement is not only moving in His direction with our attention and moving in His direction with our association. Identify with Him. But it's moving in His direction with our affections. Setting our affections on things above and not on things of this world. Boy, it's easy to have an idol, isn't it? John warned us in that last verse of his first epistle, little children, keep yourselves from idols. That doesn't necessarily mean some totem pole deity. That man has created may be something we've created in our own minds. But this matter of looking unto Jesus is turning all our affections towards Him. Here's a good verse in that light. Jesus said Himself, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You will agree with me that a lot of folks are worshiping things. And Jesus said if we'd set our affections on God and His righteousness first, we wouldn't have to worry about all these idols, these things becoming idols. He will become the object of our worship and the object of our love. We've noticed, firstly, the special meaning of looking. It's looking away from everything else unto. And then I've magnified the simple movement of looking unto. It's moving in His direction. Looking unto Jesus. Ah, but I must take a moment with the superior Master, Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now, He doesn't really name, I've named a few things, but He really doesn't name any of these matters that we're to turn our eyes from here in the text. But He definitely magnifies the one we're to behold. Looking unto Jesus. Really, that's the tenor of the whole epistle. Look unto the superior prophet. Superior to Moses. Look unto Him who is the superior warrior, superior to Joshua. Look to Him who is a superior rest, superior to the Canaan land. Look unto Jesus who is a superior priest, superior to all the Levites and the Aaronic priests because He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Look unto Jesus who is a superior sacrifice, not by the blood of bulls and goats, but through the blood of Christ there is remission of sin. The whole epistle carries that emphasis. And here when he concludes, when he clinches in this great inspired account, he says, look unto Jesus. Get your eyes off everything else and look at Jesus. You remember the name Jesus means Savior or Deliverer. The angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call His name Jesus. Why? For He shall save His people from their sins. I don't know about you, but I think He's doing a good job of it myself. Can't say too much for most of us, but He's the Savior. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And so the superior Master is Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, we might use this word for emphasis sake. Looking unto the Emancipator. The one who will free us from the bondage of sin. The Emancipator. What is it that you're up against tonight? Look unto Jesus. He's the only one that can free you. He's the only one that can save you and deliver you. He's the great Emancipator. And then He's not only superior as our Emancipator, but He is superior as the initiator. Looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith. That is the initiator of our faith. He's the first and the last. Now, I'd like to talk about all my faith. But even in that memorable text, Galatians 2:20, we learn, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, But Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of who? The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've only been with one friend over the years that prays like this. I've never heard anybody else pray like this. I guess there are those. Maybe he picked it up from somebody else. But when he prays, he said, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and in the faith of Jesus. that helps me because I know how full of unbelief I am. How doubting I am. How slow I am to trust him. But hallelujah, he's the initiator of our faith. And then he's the culminator of it. The author and the finisher. The author and the finisher of our faith. The culminator. You better believe what he starts, he will complete. You take even in prayer. If it's a prayer that I initiated, it'll not get very far. But if somehow God enables me and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, it's a prayer initiated by God, that's the prayer God hears. Is the prayer that he arouses within us. I promise you, I don't know a lot, but I know if God stirs us up to pray, he himself is stirred up to answer prayer. And what he puts in us simply rises back up to its source from whence it came. I say he's the emancipator looking unto Jesus. He's the initiator, the author. He's the culminator, the finisher of our faith. On my daddy's side of the family, my grandfather was an old-timey Pentecostal. There were 7 years in my grandfather's life that he got out of church and he didn't tithe during that time. And that bothered him. And on one occasion, I came to his house, and he was just rejoicing inside the house. He couldn't hear anything. He had no idea I was there. I just sat down in the swing out on the porch and heard him praising God and thanking God. And he finally wound down, and I got to where he could see me. And I said to him real close to his ear, I said, sounds like you was having a good time. He said, the Lord showed me today that I wasn't going to go to hell for those 7 years that I missed and didn't tithe. He said, I read in Paul's epistle where I'd be saved, whereas by fire. He said, I may lose some rewards, but he said, I will not lose my soul. I'm seeking after him. Well, that just blessed me to see him blessed. There and the old man reaching out for truth and feeling after God. They called me. I was preaching down around LaGrange, Georgia, and my dad called me and said, Bud, Pawpaw left out this afternoon. I said, you mean he died? He said, yeah. Said he was walking to church. Of course, he couldn't hear. And he just about as bad as he's seeing. And he walked out in front of a car. And right in front of the church, he went to meet the Lord Jesus. I drove home in time for the viewing and the funeral. And I was standing viewing his body in front of that old Pentecostal church. And one of the dear sisters, she had her hair all around, fixed just right. I mean, it didn't bother me. I love those dear people. Anybody that loves Jesus, I'm for them. They don't have to have a tent the same color as mine. to be a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. And I'm up there viewing my pawpaw's body, and one of the dear sisters come up and she nudged me. She said, "Tommy, I sure hope Oscar made it." Of course, that's how they think, you know. I said, "I believe he made it. I believe he made it." Listen, dear friend. The same God that initiates faith culminates faith. Being confident that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until when? The day of Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus. What are you looking at tonight? Where are you looking for help? Traveling like I do, I have to eat in all the restaurants. Lord have mercy. They get to where they all taste alike to me. Is that the way it is with you, John? Yeah, I've got my favorites, I guess, but I was in one of the fast food restaurants. And you're gonna eat here, you're gonna take it out. Well, I wouldn't have come in if I was gonna take it out. I'd have gone through the line. Seems to move faster anyhow. I said, "I'm gonna eat it here." She put everything on the little platter. Tray, except a napkin. And I'd already looked. I didn't see any napkins. I said, "You got any napkins?" She said, "They're right over there." Well, I went over there and I looked and I didn't see any napkins. I said, "Well, you pray tell me where the napkins are." She said, "They're right over there." I said, "Where are they over there?" I said, "I've looked all around." And they had a new type dispenser that swung up above, turned sideways, and there they were. I was looking in the wrong place. I needed to look a little higher, concentrate a little better. Do you think that's where we are spiritually? Oh, I'm afraid we need to look a little higher. We need to concentrate a little more on the Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May God enable us to look away from everything else, unto Him in a new way. Even in these few days of meeting, oh, that God would help us to look away from everything else, unto Jesus. Somebody says, "So-and-so's going to be here Tuesday night." Oh, may God help us to look away from so-and-so unto Jesus. "Bro, so-and-so said he's coming." Oh, may God help us to look beyond bro so-and-so. "Well, Brother Tom's going to be bringing the message." Oh, may God help us to look up beyond Brother Tom, away from Tom, unto Jesus. Looking away from everything else unto Jesus. Would you stand with me?